me great pleasure to introduce this guy, Raul C. from Santa Maria.
Good thing you're sitting over here, so I have to look at you.
Sorry.
Oh, good. Hey, whoa.
I'm not just being rude.
Raul, alcoholic.
Raul!
Good evening, guys. So my sober date is June 5th, 2021. And I have a sponsor. And he's right there. And a co-sponsor, and she's right there. Al and Andrea. And my home group right now is the Los Alamos Thursday night meeting. I got sober in Orchid 5 years ago. And I know I go like into my drunk log a lot, and I was just giving some hints when I came here tonight to not spend so much time on it. I'm gonna skip all that because you know, it just got miserable, man. You know, at first, just like everybody else here, was fun in the beginning, and then it just, you know, I ended up getting kicked out of everywhere. I ended up, you know, just panhandling and hitting up people for money towards the end, and getting into detoxes and DUI and all that good stuff, you know. Basically lost everything. And just this last time around, I really didn't believe that I can get any of that stuff back anymore. I was just spent. I didn't know really where what to do anymore. You know, I was just tired of doing the same old thing. Relapse after relapse. You know, I tried the whole weed thing and thought the weed was gonna fix me for a little bit. It kept me from drinking as much as I did, but it didn't fix me. You're an alcoholic, man. You're an alcoholic through and through. Eventually I started craving it, and then I'd be blackout drunk in no time. So what happened this last time that I came in on my own, basically. I just knew that I didn't have anywhere else to go. My grandpa had died at the time. My mom went to pick me up, and she just told me that so she was communicating with my landlord, I guess, and she picked me up, took me home, and she's like, hey, that guy that you're renting from doesn't want you there no more, and you need to figure your stuff out, right? You need to figure out what you're gonna do, and you can't come to the house. I don't know if I still had the restraining order at home still at that time. I believe that was gone already. But my mom took me in, and she said, when you sober up, you got to figure it out, man, because you can't stay here no more. And a couple of things went down at that time. Like I said, my grandpa passed away. And then I got these text messages from a couple family members that I hadn't talked to in years. And I really didn't know what to do. A coworker from Santa Barbara, the shop in Santa Barbara that I used to work in, called me up. And this guy had 2 years when I first met him. When we were working together. And, you know, looking back, man, I remember that when I worked with this guy, I was so selfish and basically an a-hole, because I knew this guy was sober. And I was still drinking, and every Friday or Thursday or so, I would throw it in his face because I wanted his position. You know, I would hit him up and like, hey man, we're gonna go drink this weekend, and me and a couple of the guys are gonna get a brew after work. You want one? You wanna go have one? And he's like, no man, I'm sober. And that's how like messed up I was, you know? This guy having 2 years and being, I heard he was in and out too. And I was trying to sabotage him, man, just to take his position at work. But I thought I was better. I thought I knew more. But this guy ended up giving me a call, and he said that he could help me, even after doing all that stuff to him, you know? Obviously, he didn't know what was really going on in my head, but I was trying to sabotage him. So he relapsed at the same time I did, and he called me. Well, it wasn't really a relapse for me. I mean, I only had like a month without drinking, smoking weed and stuff, but he had some time. But he called me up and he said, hey, I can help you out. I know some people that I met over here. They're in Santa Maria. And if you're willing to take the help, man, I could send him to your house, talk to you. So I agreed. He sent them over. One of the men is sitting in this room right now. And, you know, I was still shaking, man. I remember going through the cold sweats and all that stuff when I talked to this guy. And then these two gentlemen showed up in my mom's house the next day. And they came in with their big book. And I really couldn't tell you what they said. I don't remember any of it. I just remember when I was walking one of the guys out from my mom's house, he asked me if I wanted to go to a meeting tomorrow. And I told him, yeah. So tomorrow came, he picked me up, and my first meeting of AA was the 3 o'clock Goes to Any Length in Orchid. And that's where I got sober. But I'm not gonna lie, man, it was rough in the beginning. I still really didn't know whether I wanted it or not, you know? The whole thing with, like, am I really gonna be able to live my life without another drink, you know? And then not only that, you know, when you first come in, you get those shots of anxiety that hits you, man, and you want it to go away, you know? Especially when I was coming around and I was with, among you guys, you know, I was anxious and nervous and scared. I didn't know what I really wanted, to be honest. I didn't really know what I wanted. I just knew that I was done doing what I was doing before. So a couple of days passed. I got a few numbers, a couple of guys in that meeting. One of the guys I became really good friends with, this guy, really young guy. His name was Vinny. Me and him built a very tight relationship, man. And yeah, he really helped me out a lot. Me and him would text each other back and forth, or he would text me, like, because we were in the same trade. I was a sheet metal worker, and he was in refrigeration. And he just hit me up in the morning and asked me what I was doing for work, and I'd tell him, and then he'd be like, hey man, how you feel, and this and that, and you know, he'd give me some motivation. I ended up getting a guy as a temporary sponsor during that time. A guy that Vinny was getting sponsored by. And he did help me out. He did help me out a lot. I was able to stay sober for about a year working with this man. But towards the end of my working with him, you know, sponsor, sponsee, I was really just like, I don't know, man. I still didn't really trust, you know. I still didn't really trust. I was doing my 4-step, and I didn't really want to let go. And like I said, I just didn't really trust, you know, to confide to anybody anything that I had done, how I had hurt people, and all that stuff. And so there was a series of events. I know I was doing. Mentally, I wasn't doing too good at that time as well. I was seeking out therapy. I was seeing a therapist and a psychiatrist and getting meds and whatnot. And I was having a hard time at work, man. I was a brand new apprentice at the shop. And a series of events led to me getting into it with that sponsor. And we just parted ways. You know, we had a disagreement, we parted ways, and that was that. But I know I needed some help, man, and I reached out to another guy. And, that day that I had, you know, got into it with that sponsor, I ended up at Melody Market. I was coming in from the base, and I know I didn't want to drink, man, but I didn't want to feel what I was feeling. So I rolled up and I parked there and I started calling people and I was like, you know what, if nobody answers, I'm gonna fucking get some beers, you know. And this dude that used to come into the meetings, and I met him at church too, rolled up into Melody Market and he grabbed some liquor, and he was in the Orchid meetings, man, and he was saying that he was sober, you know. And I seen him roll up in Melody Market and grab some alcohol and take off, and I remember I took off after him. And he parked over there at Rigetti, and I parked right next to him, you know, and I was like, you know, this is a sign, man, this is a sign, I can't, I don't know. And and it was dumb, man, you know, I shouldn't have followed him, but I rolled up right next to him, you know, and I started talking to him, and I didn't really want to ask him or tell him that I saw him get what he got, but I just started kind of beating around the bush, you know, and like leaning towards that. But you know, I just kept asking him about, you know, how everything's going. Everything's good, bro. Everything's good. Things are lining up. Everything's going great. And I was like, all right, well, he ain't going to say nothing, you know. So I just sat there and talked to him for a while. But I just went home after that. I didn't drink. So I was like, you know, something's going on, man. But later on, I ended up hooking up with Al. But I had been talking to Luke for a while too. And Luke, the one that pointed out some stuff that I didn't really see before. You know, when we're fresh in this thing, we still kind of clouded with all the stuff that we... You know, all the shit in our head, and just the fog is still kind of barely lifting, you know. Like I said, I barely had a year. But Luke was pointing out some stuff to me that I didn't see. And then I started to like, okay, maybe he's right. And so, you know, a little bit later after that, I hooked up with Al. And they took me to breakfast, man. And we're just there chopping it up and just really having a good time. And I really didn't think I'd be able to like sit with these guys with a lot of time and like and like laugh and smile. Like I thought they looked down on us, you know, because we were like all little newcomers, and you know what I mean. But they're honestly like, you know, they're just like us, man. They just got time, you know, and they know how to handle things that we don't from their experience. And yeah, so that to me was like an eye-opener, and it was really good for me to experience that. And Al offered to be my temporary sponsor, man. And, 4 years later, he's still my temporary sponsor. Because I'm still not sure yet, you know what I mean? No, man, but, you know, I don't know, man, he's a... These guys have been a huge, huge, huge blessing in my life, man. Al, Andrea, Luke, Marcus, everybody that I met, Robert in the beginning, man. They really, really shown me a lot of love, man. Dank over here, man. Dank too. So I started working with Al, and at the same, like I said, I was going through therapy. And I have known my therapist before I met Al. So what I started letting my therapist in a little bit. And she's like, actually it was a guy at that time. He's like, hey, so what does your sponsor say about all this stuff? And I was like, I don't know. I haven't told him. And he goes, oh, you don't think you might want to tell him some of this stuff? And I was like, nah, I don't think I should. But so when the therapist said that, I was like, you know what? He's probably right. Maybe I should start letting him in a little bit. And just talking with him, man, he started really sharing a lot of his stuff. And then just him sharing a lot of his stuff with me. I mean, I saw the and listened to the resemblances that we had, you know, as far as like kind of growing up and just certain things that really like hit home with me and I can relate to. And so then I started saying some of my stuff, and then I was like, you know, all right, I just gotta do it. So I started writing my fourth, and it was a lot of writing, man. I remember when, I mean, we sat down for hours, you know, and I remember one time we were there for a long time, and then he goes, all right, he's all, so we got it, huh? And I was like, no, man, we still got like this much of the notebook, right? And he goes, shit. He's all right. He's like, I guess I'll see you next week. I was all right, cool. But, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I got everything out of the way. You know, I just wanted to make sure that I did everything. I didn't want to mess it up, man. Because I heard the horror stories about, like, you know, the people, oh, because I was still holding on to this, man. I was still holding on to that. And I was like, if I'm going to do this, I want to just get it over with. If he's going to find something, I just want to just get it over with, let it all out. And we did, man. He was, you know, he's patient enough to sit there and listen to all my stuff and share his experience with me. And that led me to, just gave me a little bit more confidence to even just share more, you know, just put me at ease, you know. You see, you know, just, I don't know. You know, being around these two is just them and Luke, and just, it's just a different level. I remember, you know, whenever they ask me to, like, they ask me to go check on their house sometimes, you know, when they're gone or whatnot, and even just being at their home, man, I was like, damn, this is what it's like, man, quiet, you know? It's quiet around here. You can hear their birds in the house, you know what I mean? Like, it's just different, man. And I can't wait to, like, find that quiet spot, man. So anyway, I finished my steps with Al, and you know, some good and bad things began to happen. I obviously, you know, I started seeing friends in the fellowship fall off and relapse, and you know, them, like I said, man, I still didn't know. I still had like that itch. I don't know, like I still like, I remember a coworker asked me one time, he's like, hey, Zoro, you feel like you still got another toque in you, huh? Like another hit. And I was like, yeah, bro, I do. And he's like, I feel like that too. He'd been sober, but just like white knuckling it, you know? And I was like, yeah, I still feel like I can do it. But I don't, my life started getting a little bit better. And and I started, you know, just making relationships outside of the fellowship, which was crazy because back then I would have to be loaded to talk to somebody I didn't know, you know, especially a woman, you know. I didn't have the courage to go talk to a woman, and you know, it was just, I didn't know how to do it. So anyway, I started learning how to do, he started teaching me how to handle situations which used to baffle me, you know, without alcohol. And it's just, I started seeing all that stuff, and I'm like, oh shit, dude, like, I don't need a drink, you know, I don't need a drink to talk to this chick right here. I'm like, that's great. You know, there were some bad things, like I said, that not only was there friends in the fellowship that relapsed, there's friends in the fellowship that passed away. I had a friend who died of alcoholism that had some time already. I had a friend who OD'd last year. And then I my buddy Vinny, man, who got hit in his motorcycle and passed away, you know. And so it's been a crazy ride, you know. But also all the other things that are happening in my life, all the good things, I just don't want to go back, you know. I hear some of the people in here in these rooms that go out and have a beer and have a shot and feel bad, and, you know, they come back, and I don't know if I have that in me. I know the last couple of times that I drank, it was to kill myself. I didn't drink until I ran out of money or someone took my keys away, or, you know, I ended up in the hospital, because that's how I drink. And just my life started getting better, man. I started getting more into service. My co-sponsor over here got me to, volunteered me to get into service with the Roundup. And I got involved with the Roundup, and that kept me really plugged in, even though I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I really didn't know what I was doing, man. I was calling her, I was texting her, I was calling him, and reaching out to some of the guys here in the fellowship. But that kept me plugged in. And I honestly really liked being around every one of you guys, man. I liked the fellowship. I liked the barbecues. I liked hanging out because, you know, that's what I did before. But just, I had a little baggie and a couple of tall boys with me. But I just never thought that I could do that without those substances before, you know. And in here, I was taught to fellowship and to pretty much do things differently. Also, what happened is I ended up quitting my union job as a sheet metal worker. They just couldn't keep me busy, man. And I just thought that I was gonna be one of those old timers, man, that died with this big old fat pension and driving this little RV everywhere, you know. And that was another thing that was kind of hard to handle too, because I was making good money. I was making good money when I was working, but that was the problem, man. I mean, I was down for like a year one time, and it was just too much. But with that, you know, also came a different line of work. I remember praying about it. I remember praying and praying and praying, like, hey, man, I don't care if it's half the money or whatever it is. I just want to be happy to, you know, and do what I like to do. Well, you know, be careful what you pray for, because I ended up getting that. But I really enjoy what I do right now. I work for the school district. I work in the cafeteria, but I really do enjoy that job, man. And because of you guys here and the help of my sponsor, I'm able to deal with the stuff that goes within that job, you know, because there is a lot of stuff. There's a lot of comadres over there. A lot of, you know, cafeteria full of older Mexican ladies, man. It's just... chisme, gossip all day. And I actually did end up getting in the mix in one of the, you know, I ain't gonna lie, man. I got in the mix and I ended up offending somebody, and I had to make an amends. Even the amends didn't really work out, but hey, it's all good, man. I did my part, you know. But I didn't know that until I got here. You know, the steps have really helped me out, man. My sponsor and the steps have really helped me out, because I know before, if I had gone to say sorry and they would have brushed me off, I would have went and I drank over that crap. Because I'd be like, oh, this little mother, you know, I'm over there going out of my way, and you hit me with that, I'll show you, you know. I'm going to screw up all your dishes or whatever the hell it is, you know. But, I was just petty, man, you know, just petty like that. I'd have done some goofy stuff, but yeah, man, then I also started, I went back to school. I still don't know what the hell it is I want to do. I really like the whole health and fitness thing, you know. That's another thing these two have helped me out with, man. I've been struggling to lose weight for the longest time, and they put me on some thing, their son got them on, and I mean, it sucked. I mean, it still sucks. I ate the last of my damn salmon today, and I was like, man, I can't wait to have me a fat burger, man. You know what I mean? And they're already nah, you can have a burger, but you can't have the bun. I was like, what the hell? Yeah, I was like, burger, no bun, bro. But But anyway, man, I'm truly grateful for them too, man. I ended up losing a couple pounds, and I just feel really good. I've been really struggling with it, just mainly struggling with the sugar, Billy's fudge, and everything that goes right along the lines of that stuff. But yeah, man, it's, you know, school's going good. I really never thought that I actually even had the brains for that, man. I never tried it. I always thought that I was just this dumbass construction worker that, you know, as long as I knew how to use a measuring tape and a ruler, man, I was gonna be good. And, but you know, once again, man, you know, I'd call my sponsor when I was about to get into something at school and I was real nervous or test or, and he's like, man, he's like, you just gotta believe in yourself. Just get in there and just suit up, show up. And I started doing that, started taking the suggestions, man. And man, I started getting these good grades, man. I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, this computer class, I didn't even understand. I gotta be. I mean, I still don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, it was like a B plus. I was like, what are you turning this thing on right here? But anyway, yeah, no, you know, just a bunch of stuff that I was learning, you know, mostly just the dealing with people, places, and things. And I think that's what really takes a lot of us out, when you don't know how to deal with certain situations, and which I never did. I never really did know how to. I couldn't even talk to a girl without a couple of drinks, man. And I mean a couple of drinks. Like, I had to be 12-pack deep. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, it's just, it's been a crazy ride. It's been good. I got my, you know, relationships with the family back. My sister hated me, man. I used to break into her room and steal her money and steal her liquor, you know. I'd break into my stepdad's liquor cabinet and fill it with water, not thinking, you know, he ain't gonna find out. He's not gonna tell, you know, all his hard liquor, you know, and his wine. And, you know, I got, my sister hits me up now. My sister sometimes tells me, like, or I'll hear about her doing this and that. And I was like, yeah, I heard you help so-and-so do this and that. And I was like, you ain't supposed to be doing that. And she's like, well, nah, I just kind of saw what you were doing, helping these people the other day, you know, and I just, you know, you kind of motivate me and this and that. And, you know, for my sister to say that, that's like, that's huge, man. You know, I'm one of those people that I've always tried to not only impress everybody out in the world, but my family. I always thought that my mom looked down on me, and my whole family, they always talked down to me. They always did, and that's another reason why I always had such resentment, you know, the way they used to talk down to you. And because of this program, man, I know now that, you know, they didn't know better. That's just how they were raised, and they were raised by a hard-ass, old-ass Mexican, my grandpa, you know, that I didn't know any better either, man, you know. But I resented all of them because of that, especially my mom, man. And now I really see things differently, you know, the steps, and my sponsor taught me how to just look at my mom differently. She still gets on my nerves, you know. I had to move back in with her in January, and it's hard. I know now that she's just got her own stuff going on. You know, my stepdad, when a couple months ago, she was going off, and he comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, you think your mom might need some therapy or something? And I was just like, damn, bro. I mean, we've been saying that since we were like two, you know? But he's finally starting to, you know, my mom's just, she's been through a lot of crap. And she's another one that doesn't know how to handle people, places, things, and especially people, you know. But I do have some, I know how to kind of respond to her now. Sometimes it's really hard, but for the most part now, things are smooth at home. You know, before that, when I was living at home, it wasn't like that. And like I said, man, my sister will call me up here and there, see how I'm doing. My son, he's doing good. You know, when I first came in, in recovery, I got into a fist fight with him, and it was bad, man. It was really bad. I ended up hurting my kid, man, and you know, just over stupid stuff. He did, like, okay, he had his part, I had my part, but I could have walked away, you know. I pressed the issue and we got in a fight, and I just hope that stuff never happens again. When I see him now, he gives me a hug, gives me a kiss on the cheek, man, tells me he's out, and it sucks. I wish I had that little boy still, and I could hold him, and I missed a lot of stuff when I was drinking and using out there that I do regret. You know, we say that we, in the program, that we should not close the door on the past, but I wish I could just close the door on that part of my life, you know, because I really did believe I hurt my son when I was absent. That's the one thing I said I would never do, is be like my mom and dad, and that's the first thing I did. First thing I did was become alcoholic like my dad, and then controlling like my mom. I don't think I'm gonna make it, man. I don't think I'm gonna make that hour. I'm running out of spit. But you know, man, I'm just, you know, I'll go back to it. Wait, hold on. You don't want to hear it, man. It was miserable. I mean, we all did the same thing, you know, but I'm just truly grateful, man. Today, like I said, the relationship with my kid is completely different than even when it was in recovery, when I first came into recovery. I love that kid a lot, man, and I wish we had a better relationship. That's what the issue is. I wish I had a different relationship with him, but as long as I could just accept that he's on his own journey, he's doing his own thing, and God's got him, and that really kind of puts me at ease, you know. But that, I didn't know none of that stuff, man. You guys taught me everything that I know so far with this program and everything else, you know. I got all kinds of friends, man. Before it was just whoever I used and drank with, and sometimes I just used them to get a ride, and that was it, or go take me to get a sack or whatever it was, you know. And we don't see each other every day, you know, but when I see you guys, I know it's all love, you know. And I'm just truly grateful. I don't have everything I want. I have everything I need today, though. I'm a little bit healthier. I'm mental clarity, and I think if I just keep suiting up and showing up and putting in the action, I think that, you know, good things will happen. I mean, that's not just, bad things are always gonna happen. You know, just cause you're in recovery don't mean that you're not gonna go through some downs and some bad times, you know. But as long as you stay plugged in, man, and you got a sponsor, and you know, the new people here that are fresh in, you know, I really suggest you guys get a sponsor. It really helped me out. It really is, and it's still helping me. I really stay, every time I go to my sponsor's house, as soon as I pull up, I just pray. I'm gonna help me be honest and open to receive, because back in the day when somebody would tell me what to do, I would take it as something bad. Like I would be offended. I'd be like, you know, this guy has a, but he knows my whole story now, and you know, I just want to be remain teachable, man, because I hear you guys say that, and you guys have been here, and I see you guys having a good life right now, and I know you guys go through your ups and downs, but you're still here, you know. And that's really all I got, man. Thank you for letting me share, guys.
All right, let's give Raul another round of applause. Thank thank you, Raul, for speaking tonight. Anybody who would like to come up after the meeting to thank the speaker is more than welcome.